Good evening and bonsoir, Mr. Dunn. It is Sunday, November 17th, 2013, and you're now listening to Playtime with Sandra Radio. I'm your hostess, Sandra London of livinggrind.com, broadcasting to you live from the sunny beaches of Southern California in connection with Blog Talk Radio, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, Digital Podcast, and Naked Girls Radio. The song you just heard at the top of the hour was Tokyo Extreme Racer by Joseph Nanner and Vandal Hearts. And yes, hello, hello. It has been 2 weeks where I have not spoken with y'all on a Sunday evening as I normally do. Many apologies. I have missed you. I have missed you all. But yes, please enjoy this next song. Let me just find it here real quick for you, and I'll be right back with you. The call-in number is 858-815-2333. Once again, 858-815-2333. And I will play The Operation by Kuka, and I'll be right back with you.
Color Picture.
And we're back. Yeah, that was Window by Hood Virtual. I found that on freemusicarchive.org. And just before that, you heard Kuka with, The Operation. There you are. So anyways, this evening it is a full moon once again. Woo-hoo. And is there something else? Oh, yes, for this evening, the theme is, where did I put it? Getting you back to zero. Voila, my brain will return momentarily. But yes, getting you back to zero. And I made that the title in honor of the modified Julian Day Zero, which happened in 1858. I don't know. I really like studying calendars and dates and random number type thingies, so that's why. But I will, a bit later in the broadcast, go over some really cute things about the number zero, just some random trivia and tidbits, and also a few cool things that happened on this very day, November 17th, in other years. But in the meanwhile, let me find something for you, and I'll be right back with you. The call-in number is 858-815-2333. Once again, 858-815-2333. And I've got one or two different erotic stories that I will read for you live. One will be Oratio Oblica, which I was not able to read at my last radio episode because of the very, very stimulating, engaging interview that I had with the CAM Model Directory site. Yes, yes. So I'll get to that this evening in just a little while, and also a story from the Master Slave book edited by N.T. Morley. So stay tuned for that. In the meanwhile, check out Welcome to the House of Fun by Juanitos, and I'll be right back with you.
Welcome in the house of fun. Welcome in the house of fun. Welcome in the house of fun. Welcome in the house of fun.
Welcome in the house of fun. Welcome in the house of fun.
Welcome in the house of fun.
That was Touching Bases by King Felix. Okay, quick history lesson, real quick, and then some sexy time, and then Oratio Oblica. Okay, yeah, honest in history. In 1777, the U.S. Articles of Confederation were submitted to the states for ratification. 1858, modified Julian Day Zero, which I will explain later. 1871, the National Rifle Association was granted a charter by the state of New York. 1911, Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated was the first black Greek-lettered organization founded at Howard University. 1919, Armistice Day in UK was founded. 1939, International Students Day, founded based on the execution of 9 student protesters in the Czech Republic. 1962, JFK dedicated Washington Dulles Airport, International Airport. 1968, the viewers of the Raiders Jets game on the East Coast were denied the ability to watch the finale because NBC somehow broadcast Heidi instead. Which led to broadcast regulation of sports thereafter in a way. Yeah. That reminds me, I think, USC was able to defeat Stanford just this weekend or something, and it was all kind of wild, but I don't know. Yeah. 1970, the Luna program involving the Soviets landing on the moon. Hold on. 1982, sorry if I mispronounced this, Dooku Kim died from injuries in a 14-round match against Ray Mancini in Vegas, prompting a reform in boxing. 1989, Velvet Revolution once again in Czech Republic. 1993, the North American Free Trade Agreement was agreed to. And yeah, happy birthday to Scorpion, Gordon Lightfoot, Martin Scorsese, Lauren Hutton, Lauren Michaels, who is the creator of Saturday Night Live, Dean Paul Martin, RuPaul, Susan Rice, the American diplomat, Sophie Marceau, and in memoriam to Catherine the Great, the Empress of Russia, Auguste Rodin, awesome French artist, and Esther Roll. And there we are. Well, that too fast. Hopefully you got that just fine. But I will be right back with you shortly. Please enjoy this interview involving myself, Sandra London, and Lily Cade. And just after that, I will read Oratio Oblica and I guess go over some cool zero stuff. And that naughty, naughty selection from the Master Slave collection, edited by N.T. Morley. You're free to call in if you'd like, 858-815-2333. Once again, 858-815-2333.
Going? Are we rolling? Hello. Yes, we are. Hi. You're watching Sandra London TV and the Living Grind in LA.com all at the same time. I'm Sandra London. I'm here with
Lily Cade.
And Lily Cade is awesome. We just got done shooting our second and third
scene. Our second today and our third overall.
Yes. So we've had a good, fun time, and I
think we were just having sex right where we are right now.
Very true. Yeah.
And we got this.
Yeah, this is our,
I don't think you were wearing this.
I was not. She broke my pearls, you guys. Isn't that terrible?
No.
They're even my newest fashion.
I know.
It's fine. They're replaceable. Anyway.
I knew they came off.
But, so Lily's going to tell my house. I'm going to chime in every now and again, but I'm going to give her the kitchen.
Hey, so I'm Lily Cade, and you can find more of me at lilycade.com, which is LilyCade.com. And I've been in porn since November 16th of 2008. And I'm an adult performer, I'm a girl performer, and I'm also a director. So my directorial debut is a movie called Art School Dykes, which is awesome, and you should get it. And the next movie that I directed is called Hard Working Girl.
When is that coming out?
Art School is out in December of 2010.
Ooh.
And Hard Working Girl is going to come out in October.
Where can I find Art School Dykes?
Anywhere adult DVDs are.
So everywhere.
Yeah, if you go online.
Hot Movies, AVN.
It's not on Hot Movies, but you can get the DVD on... Universe or Adult DVD Empire, GLA Raleigh, wherever you buy your adult DVDs. And you can also get the scenes that I'm in on my website, lilycade.com.
There
you go. So if you don't want to see the parts that I wasn't in, just go to my website.
All Lily, all the time, lilycade.com.
Mm-hmm. And there'll be content of her on there too.
And how much is that per month? $19.95. Okay. Guys, sign up.
And it updates once a week with a video update and once a week with a photo update. Occasional bonus updates, because sometimes I have, like, you know, 5-minute clips or something, but it doesn't constitute an actual update, and I just throw it on there.
There you go.
And what else about me?
She's
I'm really
good
at what I do.
She is. Look at her. Oh.
Redheads.
You guys know already, I like redheads, right?
Yeah.
She's red hair. She has more red hair.
Ooh. Damn.
Wow. She's brash and bold and beautiful, and that's why she's awesome. But yeah, tell us more about what got you interested in creating your own company, like what made you want to do your own thing.
I'm a film school grad. I went to USC Film School, University of Southern California, not the one on the other coast. But I always wanted to make movies, and I just kind of fell into porn. And pretty much from the moment that I got into it, I wanted to make my own stuff, my own movies, my own content. And last year, actually Cinco de Mayo of 2010 is when I officially started my production company and started filming my own content. Mm-hmm. So I shot for my own site, of course, and then I shot for Good Dyke Porn, for Homegrown Video, for Nightingale Pictures, for Philly Films, and for Girlfriend Films. And directing is what I really love. I absolutely adore performing. Don't get me wrong. Performing is amazing. But I also absolutely love directing, and that's what I always wanted to do.
And did you attend, like, a theater-based high school or any type of
thing? I actually went to Catholic school.
Very interesting.
For high school, and then I went to USC for film school.
Do you have any Catholic schoolgirl things in anything that you've shot?
I don't think I've ever shot a Catholic school play yet in my life. I shot one Catholic schoolgirl scene, but it has not come out, and I don't think it will ever come out. I got hired by this kind of, like, crazy director from New York. She was a short, tiny, tight, muscle-bound little Asian chick, and she hired me and Torrid, who I think the only form that Torrid has done is the movie Tomboys with me. But she hired me and Torrid to do a scene where I was, like, the bad schoolgirl, and she was a good schoolgirl. So I was actually kind of dressed like a cowboy, like, flannel shirt, cowboy hat, black 501 Levi's. And she had us actually messing around outside a school, a real school in the valley. And she like, I'm smoking and watching Torrid, who's wearing the schoolgirl outfit, and then I come over and kind of, like, start seducing her, and the director yells, "Go down on her! Blow the smoke up her slut!"
Right in front of the school.
I do. Right in front of the school. And I'm really sad, actually, that this scene never came out, because we didn't complete the sex in front of the school, but we started it. Like, I went down on her for a while outside an actual working high school. On the same movie,
are
I
you
also
sure
had...
It should be filmed right now.
It wasn't in session.
It wasn't even really a school. It was like a
high
school. It was just like Catholic divine.
But, The same movie, we also had Sex in the Bathroom on a Holiday Inn, me and Caden St. John, who's in our old Dykes, and who's awesome. She's on her website, OiTownBoy.com. But this movie, it never came out, and that's something I regret. Because I really wanted to see how it turned out. But that's the only Catholic school girl thing I've done. I think because I don't look like a schoolgirl. I think I look too not innocent to be a schoolgirl.
I don't think so.
No. You think I look innocent?
Totally.
Because I'm not.
You're like a fresh-faced sheriff. So, you want to talk about... Okay, we met in January while we were filming
a pirate movie.
So if you guys have seen Girl Fun, then you're already familiar with that.
Which
if,
is her first girl
if
movie?
Not, you need to catch up. And that was my girl very first debut girl scene. It was shot at my place.
Mm-hmm.
In my bed.
Right here in Miami, Dallas.
It was hot. But, yes, and we may be continuing on with that, Pirates movie and some more movies.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to introduce you guys to her because she's cool and she's very talented and she's up and coming as a major adult movie film chica. So check her out again.
I'm good at porn.
She's good at it. You heard it from Straight Converse. But on the way, as we're concluding this interview, I'm going to get up and show you. Or maybe even stand right here, like, on my counter, what I swear if I won't fall. If I do, then I did it for you all.
I'm going to have to take her to the hospital.
Oh, no. I'll just run some testing on it. I'll do this one. Okay, one, two. Yeah, okay, so I can see all of these, but voila, rich, belly, freedom, skirt. I think that's
what?
And this jacket. Yeah, this was not on before, but it is now. And then, read. Cha-cha-cha. The pink, like, Barbie, underage bikini top. And then...
I was wearing this. And something on over it. I mean, under it that isn't here anymore.
Ooh.
Can I show the window?
You can show it as you want.
There we go.
And these. Yeah. So she's wearing that, and I gotta figure out how to get down gracefully, but
by jumping.
In a moment, yeah. Ooh. Okay, where are you? There you are. There you are. There's the butt in front of the stove. A woman's place is in the home.
I'm kidding.
I'm kidding. No, it's not me. No, I don't even care. Let's see. And then, there you go. And, hey, it's like falling.
Okay, there you go.
And we're signing. Oh, excuse this. Okay, there we go. Oh. There we go. Signing off.
Bye.
Bye. LilyK.com. Sandra London TV on YouTube. And LiveAndGrindInLA.com.
Thank you. por você.
Org. Alright, gather around, gather around. Alright, I'll do a live reading now of Idyllic Oratio Obliga. As soon as it pulls up right here. Yes, in the meanwhile, while this is getting ready, let me just go ahead and, like, I don't know, give props or something to a couple movies I've seen over the past 2 weeks or more. One was Now You See Me with Woody Harrelson and Morgan Freeman. Awesome, awesome. The second one was American Gigolo with Harrison Ford and Catherine Deneuve. The third one was Tea with Mussolini with Cher and Judi Dench. It was pretty cool. And the fourth one, I did not catch the entire movie, so I need to watch it from the beginning, but it seemed pretty darn funny. But The Dictator with Sacha Baron Cohen, it seemed hilarious, hilarious. I think I caught like the last 30, 40 minutes. But anyways, alrighty, so here we go. Idyllic Oratio Oblica by yours truly. This is published on liveandgrind.com, a.k.a. toliveandgrindinla.com, Wednesday, March 27th, 2013. Yesterday morning, or perhaps last night, Celeste will wake up dead. It will take quite some time before she will take note of this. Celeste will have just ventured out the evening before with her best friend forever, Ashlyn Jameson, to seek out a new restaurant and bar, Le Colisée. Dave will not appear too excited about this, and Celeste will worry that he may be upset by the time upon which she returns, especially if she should so happen to have spent far too much time catching up with her longtime friend, with whom she will have not seen in a little over an academic year. Ashlyn has been on a study abroad exchange of some sort, premised upon classical literature and ancient mythology, or something like this. Ashlyn's long-winded, bubbly digests are quite familiar to all. Wow, this is the first time my computer's just totally frozen up. Hold on. If he keeps doing this, I have to play a song and restart. But hold on. Let's see. Yep. Come on. Yes, full moon. I'm blaming it. I'm blaming you, moon. Full moon. Dude. we begin again. I'm going to start over. Alrighty. And let's hope this doesn't do this again. Alrighty. Yesterday morning, or perhaps last night, Celeste will wake up dead. It will take quite some time before... Darn it! What ass? My computer's being so rude. Pardonnez-moi. It is being very mean. If I could sing a song for you, I would. Let's see. What song shall I sing? I'll try again. All right, Celeste will have just ventured out the evening before with her best friend forever, Ashlyn Jameson, to seek out a new restaurant and bar, Le Colisée. Dave will not appear too excited about this, and Celeste will worry that he may be upset by the time upon which she returns, especially if she should so happen to have spent far too much time catching up with her longtime friend, with whom she will have not seen in a little over an academic year. Ashlyn has been on a study abroad exchange of some sort, premised upon classical literature and ancient mythology, or something like this. Ashlyn's long-winded, bubbly digests are quite familiar to all. In fact, they register quite regularly as a CC all expose to her steady circulation of friends, as well as the many more recent admirers she will have gathered along the way. Mykonos, Athens, Barcelona, Catalonia, as Ashlyn has never failed to educate her fellow feathered ilk. All this, and even more still, and yet always all the best parts, divulged solely for Celeste's pervy perusal and private consumption. And so now, Celeste will be able to unearth even more, always more, about her darling girlfriend's heady endeavors and their lusty conclusion. For example, Tomas, the hunky, highly adroit Catalonian with whom Ashley has only just memorialized a great escape to Venezia. A sweet but sordid escapade culminating with tentative then turbulent finger-filled dalliances to the tune of that silent symphony on the muddy waters of a midnight gondola ride. A tasty bon appetit, indeed, for El Señor, fanned beneath her popularly peasant skirt. And how Ashlyn would squirm, reliving how she would try her best to ignore the rocking and swaying of that small floating apparatus so many millions of light years away from the crunchy granola of her more usual endives. Like Hendry's Beach off the Pacific coast, or a stolen moment of picnicking a la Baba Voom on checkered gingham blankets, or were they Freddy's Burgers napkins? Ashlyn will have developed a learned disdain for those comparatively milder throes of passion, long gone and tossed out to sea amid the persistent flow of tides along the edges of humanity. Celeste is more than willing to subsume this all the while, emptying recollections of fuzzy, fading remnants of her own times past, like losing her bon genre jeans to the Pacific coast in a newly naked embrace, her soaked front pockets bearing down, impeding resistance, reuniting with Donnie's t-shirt, there having become saddled with quarters readied for a midnight sack of colorless bra and panty laundry, and Donnie's short sleeves. All this and salutes the elements, yet little more than a mere pittance to Mother Nature herself. But no, no. Celeste will quickly return to the seedy seat of novelty, smack dab in front row, where things were a lot less pedestrian. You see, Ashlyn was a lady in Europe. That being so, it was only polite then to allow her beau, Tomas, to have a gander at her prized and pretty pink possession, and unthinkable to lie concealed and delicately beneath some nondescript fabric of commodity. Ah, yes, Celeste will be most eager to relish all of these naughty delicts abroad in real time, after all that she has devoured at length before her computer screen. Things were going to get real. Celeste will reach out, compelled by her quest to fully expose those secret treasures of abandon and concert, she hopes, with her longtime beau. She has lived for the day of this reunion, it seems, and the lustful remixing of the familiar, the widening of Ashlyn's complicit, dazzling hazel green eyes, her full breasts thrusting forward out of habit as she embarks anew, weaving her delicious narrative to life. David will not know what hit him. Certainly, yes. Celeste has been yearning for this sort of gathering for much more than a fortnight. And now, she wants to collect. Her attention will divert at moments upon the thought of Ashlyn's cheeks, which usually tend towards rosy when she is just about to spill the raciest of spoils, the impish dive of Ashlyn's heart-shaped head as she lowers her gaze, mid-sentence. The corners of her girlfriend's lips when they curl conspiratorially. Their interchange will commingle, as they often do, laced with sheepish smirks of self-censorship and bouts of sheer, bemused embarrassment. The false modesty will peel away as Ashlyn's hushed giggles tell all. Together, they will find it increasingly troublesome to fight back the tears of merriment. Time and again, they may attempt to stifle and compress Ashlyn's naughty narrative at irregular intervals, shielding themselves from spectators, wandering eyes, and wondering ears. And, of course, the waiter will come near, making his proverbial rounds, mostly mid-bite, just like clockwork, just to see if everything's all right. And it will be, and so very much more than all right. Celeste will encroach progressively as the night waxes on, building upon each succulent recantation of her muse. Celeste will catalog all manner of happenstance this evening, hoping to unleash her very own brand of sex magic, just this once, but precisely where and when she should. She will attempt to widen the circle, just for one. Or, well, her party of one. Ah, the sweet, unassuming, ever so devoted David. Now, ordinarily, Celeste would have had no difficulty casting forth a reasonable reproduction of her notorious pal's far-flung charisma, but her rehearsals were largely confined to solitary pursuit. Mostly. Yet here, Celeste will assume certain studied positions on this once-upon-a-night. It is a given that she will start out well enough. She will advance with all the more purpose between the unforeseen hours of this endless night. Celeste's impending desire will mount bit by bit, eager to rejoice, relive, and suddenly give rise to a fait accompli. She races full speed ahead without regard for what could have otherwise resulted from certain derisive acts of jamais vu. Celeste will have hastened the destiny which stirs so immutably within, in spite of herself. By definition, Celeste has had plenty of, well, practice, gleaned from that steady stream of salacious digest, awash with the magnetic agony, ecstasy, and octane-laden discourse which spawns overeasy from Randy Wildchild, Ashlyn. Celeste has been au courant for such a very long time. More often than not, perhaps, this feverish intoxication could have topped off, occasioning itself to die a warm, slow, heady little death. Until this one night, her fantasies would have remained burrowed within the exclusive domain of private life, slipping through solely during hidden, unspecified stretches of time, shrouded within and beneath her stark white bedroom linen, finding their welcome respite peacefully atop Celeste's personal pleasure chamber. Normally, she would have flicked it out, pressing persistently with her tiny, finely tuned digits until she stopped. However, this time around, not so much. On this other day or night, something else will have come to pass instead, and rather remarkably so. And all because, and perhaps only because, at the culmination of this very grand soirée and pleasure-filled reconnaissance, things really won't seem all that different. Not at first. And yet, after all this, somehow it all must cease to be. Because Celeste will wake up dead. The End, written by yours truly, Sandra London, on March 19, 2013, and published March 27, 2013, on livinggrind.com. Yes. Huh. Alrighty. So I'll get you a song here real quick, and then I will be right back with you. My call number is 858-815-2333. Once again, 858-815-2333. And, come on. Hi. Okay. Here you
me agapa, no quiero, no soy tan amiga. I'm a scary gargoyle on a tower that you made with plastic power. Your rhinestone eyes are like factories far away. Where the paralytic dreams that we all seem to keep drive on engines till they weep. We're future pixels in factories far away. So call the mainland from the beach. Your pod is now washed up in bleach. The waves are rising for this time of year. And nobody knows what to do with the heat. Under sunshine pylons we'll meet while rain is falling like rhinestones from the sky.
Eileen's just set up shop and she's new. You need only hand over her too. She'll spin her ass round and her panties right on down till you pumped, pumped, till you're blue. Ooh, yeah! Some men are born mediocre. Some men achieve mediocrity, and some men have mediocrity thrust upon them. That's number one. Number two, this is from Catch 22 by Joseph Heller. Uh-oh, did you see my pan, Kafka? Do I have to kill you? Oops. I'm recording this. How funny. I'm going to kill you, Kafka. Okay. Let's see. Okay, number two. What a lousy earth. He wondered how many people were destitute that same night, even in his own prosperous country. How many homes were shanties? How many husbands were drunk and wives socked? And how many children were bullied, abused, or abandoned? How many families hungered for food they could not afford to buy? How many hearts were broken? How many suicides would take place that same night? How many people would go insane? How many cockroaches and landlords would triumph? How many winners were losers, successes failures, and rich men poor men? How many wise guys were stupid? How many happy endings were unhappy endings? How many honest men were liars, brave men, cowards, loyal men, traitors? How many sainted men were corrupt? How many people in positions of trust had sold their souls to bodyguards? How many had never had souls? How many straight and narrow paths were crooked paths? How many best families were worse families? And how many good people were bad people? When you added them all up and then subtracted, you might be left with only the children, and perhaps with Albert Einstein and an old violinist or sculptor somewhere. Number two. Number three, they agreed that it was neither possible nor necessary to educate people who never questioned anything. That's number three. Number four, why are they going to disappear him? I don't know. It doesn't make sense. It isn't even good grammar. That's number four. Number five, it doesn't make a damned bit of difference who wins the war to someone who's dead. That's number five. Let's see. You have a morbid aversion to dying. You probably resent the fact that you're at war and might get your head blown off any second. I more than resent it, sir. I'm absolutely incensed. You have deep-seated survival anxieties, and you don't like bigots, bullies, snobs, or hypocrites. Subconsciously, there are many people you hate. Consciously, sir. Consciously, Yusarian corrected in an effort to help. I hate them consciously. You're antagonistic to the idea of being robbed, exploited, degraded, humiliated, or deceived. Misery depresses you. Ignorance depresses you. Persecution depresses you. Violence depresses you. Corruption depresses you. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if you were manic depressive. Yes, sir. Perhaps I am. Don't try to deny it. I'm not denying it, sir, said Yusarian, pleased with the miraculous rapport that finally existed between them. I agree with all that you said. And then, let's see. this is a quote. This is funny. Next one. It was miraculous. It was almost no trick at all, he saw, to turn vice into virtue, and slander into truth, impotence into abstinence, arrogance into humility, plunder into philanthropy, thievery into honor, blasphemy into wisdom, brutality into patriotism, and sadism into justice. Anybody could do it. It required no brains at all. It merely required no character. There's that one. Okay, the next one. The Texan turned out to be good-natured, generous, and likable. In 3 days, nobody could stand him. And then... let's see. All right, next one. There's nothing mysterious about it. He's not working at all. He's playing. Or else he's forgotten all about us. That's the kind of god you people talk about. A country bumpkin. A clumsy, bungling, brainless, conceited, uncouth hayseed. Good God, how much reverence can you have for a supreme being who finds it necessary to include such phenomena as phlegm and tooth decay in his divine system of creation? What in the world was running through that warped, evil, scatological mind of his when he robbed old people of the power to control their bowel movements? Why in the world did he ever create pain? Yeah. And then... he's just making fun of people that blame God for everything. Okay, next one. Well, he died. You don't get any older than that. Huh? He said, well, he died. You don't get any older than that. He was talking about a random soldier that died. A soldier that died. Prostitution gives her an opportunity to meet people. It provides fresh air and wholesome exercise, and it keeps her out of trouble. Oh. Okay. Let's take a drive into the middle of nowhere with a packet of Marlboro Lights and talk about our lives. Okay, we're into that. What do you do when it rains? The captain answered frankly. I get wet. Okay. Who's funny? Who's they, he wanted to know. Who specifically do you think is trying to murder you? Every one of them, Isarian told him. Every one of whom? Every one of whom do you think? I haven't any idea. Then how do you know they aren't? Because, Clevenger sputtered and turned speechless with frustration. Clevenger really thought he was right, but Isarian had proof, because strangers he didn't know shot at him with cannons every time he flew up into the air to drop bombs on them, and it wasn't funny at all. Yes, about a dude who goes to war and gets all disenchanted with what he's fighting for, but he wants to live, but he's like, what am I fighting for? To not die? But why? So. Whatever his elders told him to do, he did. They told him to look before he leaped, and he always looked before he leaped. They told him never to put off until the next day what he could do the day before, and he never did. He was told to honor his father and his mother, and he honored his father and his mother. He was told that he should not kill, and he did not kill until he got in the army. Then he was told to kill, and he killed. He turned the other cheek on every occasion and always did unto others exactly as he would have had others do unto him. When he gave to charity, his left hand never knew what his right hand was doing. He never once took the name of the Lord his God in vain, committed adultery, or coveted his neighbor's ass. In fact, he loved his neighbor and never, ever bore false witness against him. Major Major's elders disliked him because he was such a flagrant nonconformist. Joe Heller. He's probably dead now. I don't know. He wrote this book. Catch-22 did not exist. He was positive of that, but it made no difference. What did matter was that everyone thought it existed, and that was much worse, for there was no object or text to ridicule or refute, to accuse, criticize, attack, amend, hate, revile, spit at, rip to shreds, trample upon, or burn up. Where are the Snowdens of yesteryear? Men, he began his address to the officers, measuring his pauses carefully. You are American officers. The officers of no other army in the world can make that statement. Think about it. You have no respect for excessive authority or obsolete traditions. You're dangerous and depraved, and you ought to be taken outside and shot. Oh. Oh, there's one that's really funny I had to try to find.
Is that book downloaded on your thing, or just like you pulled it up from the screen?
It's a collection of the quotes from it. I read it back in high school.
Is it posted?
I was going to pick some out, my favorites, and post. Where were you born? On a battlefield. No, in what state were you born? In a state of innocence?
Yeah. Oh, this one. What? His heart cracked and he fell in love. He wondered if she would marry him. Tu sei pazzo, she told him with a pleasant laugh. Why am I crazy? He asked. Perché non posso sposare? Why can't you get married? Because I'm not a virgin, she answered. What has that got to do with it? Who will marry me? No one wants a girl who's not a virgin. I will. I'll marry you. Ma non posso sposarti. Why can't you marry me? Perché sei pazzo. Why am I crazy? Perché vuoi sposarmi. You won't marry me because I'm crazy, and you say I'm crazy because I want to marry you? Is that right? Si. Tu sei pazzo. He told her loudly. Perché? She shouted back at him indignantly, her unavoidable round breasts rising and falling in a saucy huff beneath the pink chemise as she sat up in bed indignantly. Why am I crazy? Because you won't marry me. Stupido! She shouted back at him and smacked him loudly and flamboyantly on the chest with the back of her hand. Non posso sposarti. Non capisci? Non posso sposarti. Oh, sure, I understand. And why can't you marry me? Perché sei pazzo? And why am I crazy? Perché vuoi sposarmi? Because I want to marry you. Carina, ti amo, he explained, and he drew her gently back down to the pillow. Ti amo molto. Tu sei pazzo, she murmured in reply, flattered. Perché? Because you say you love me. How can you love a girl who's not a virgin? Because I can't marry you. She bolted right up again, a threatening rage. Why can't you marry me? She demanded, ready to clout him again if he gave an uncomplimentary reply. Just because I'm not a virgin? No, darling, because you're crazy.
I'll tell you what justice is. Justice is a knee in the gut from the floor on the chin at night, sneaky with a knife brought up down on the magazine of a battleship, sandbagged, underhanded in the dark without a word of warning. That's cute. Her own body was such a familiar and unremarkable thing to her that she was puzzled by the convulsive ecstasy men could take from it, by the intense and amusing need they had merely to touch it, to reach out urgently and press it, squeeze it, pinch it, rub it. She did not understand Yusarian's lust, but she was willing to take his word for it. That's cute. Just what the hell did you mean, you bastard, when you said we couldn't punish you, said the corporal, who could take shorthand reading from his stenopad. All right, said the colonel, just what the hell did you mean? I didn't say you couldn't punish me, sir. When, asked the colonel. When what, sir? Now you're asking me questions again. I'm sorry, sir, I'm afraid I don't understand your question. When didn't you say we couldn't punish you? Don't you understand my question? No, sir, I don't understand. You've just told us that. Now suppose you answer my question. But how can I answer it? That's another question you're asking me. I'm sorry, sir, but I don't know how to answer it. I never said you couldn't punish me. Now you're telling us what you did say. I'm asking you to tell us what you didn't say. I always didn't say you couldn't punish me, sir. I find my one favorite one and I'm done reading. They couldn't keep death out, but while she was in, she had to act like a lady. Mm-hmm.
was Happening for Lulu by Krauss, which I found via freemusicarchive.org. And just before that, I hope you enjoyed my dalliance into Joe Heller Catch-22 quotes that was a recording where it was very late in the evening, early morning, and I just felt like reading my favorite quotes from Catch-22. It was one of my favorite books in high school, so yes. And because my computer's being all weird, then I felt like I didn't want to try to be too adventurous and go through different like songs and clips and stuff in my studio because it's all slow right now. But I hope you enjoyed that. And yes, although we are getting towards the end of the show and the theme, getting you back to zero, hey, most people like will address the theme in the beginning, yes, but not me, I guess not. Yeah, I chose that partly because I ran across it when I was looking at like things that happened on this day in history and looking at like the Julian calendar. We use the Gregorian calendar here in the Western world, but I liked reading about like the conditio absurda, like all these different ways that were used to measure time, and Julian calendar preceded the Gregorian calendar that we now use, and I was excited to see if they're like, yeah, about the year, like, zero or whatever, but I liked it because I saw a few weeks ago, quite a few weeks ago, maybe months now ago, there was some kind of question on, I believe it was debate.org or some site like this, that the question or debate was, is zero a positive number? And that was the question. And the argument was yes. And there was like a counter saying, no, it isn't. It's just neutral. It's just nothing. It just is or whatever. And so the actual question, according to mathematical sources, is no, it is an even number. So yes, it is an even number. It's not neutral per se. And it's an even number because it's divisible by two. And it's surrounded on both sides by odd numbers. And a set of zero objects can be split into two equal sets, which can be demonstrated on, like, a balance. And I saw an example of that over on Wikipedia. And they're like, well, divisible by two, but when you do it, like, in a calculator, then you get, like, the E or the non, the NaN, that's the, like, not a number signal that will happen on, like, different calculators and all this. Yet, that doesn't matter. It's still it's still an even number. And so I was just looking at, like, okay, well, what did, like, the ancients think about this whole thing? Because one of the first, like, verifiable records of its use came from India. And then there was, like, the Moors. And then there was, like, the ancient Greeks that used their own alphabet to describe numbers and things like this. And then there was the creation of the Hellenistic zero, which became the Omicron, which looks like a sort of a, like, a outline of a head with hair that, like, goes horizontal or something, which now stands for, or commonly expressed as 70. Anyways, the ancient Greeks themselves, they had, like, issues philosophically about the thought of zero as a number when it's kind of, like, was just seen as a placeholder and not of an actual prescribed value. But I guess, I don't know, as more and more mathematical, I don't know, data was conceptualized, like, I don't know, it just became more and more valuable in a way, I guess. And so this person named Pingala was the first to conceptualize zero as an actual number and not just a space, because in the past, sometimes it would just use a space to signify, like, zero, yet in some readings, you had to know the context to know that the space meant a zero and wasn't just a random space. Anyways, I don't know if that confused you, or you're like, what the hell? Or you're like, duh, or who knows. But to me, like, all that stuff's kind of, like, just cool. And, like, don't get me wrong or right or whatever, but I'm not, like, a math guru, genius person. Not with math, no. But I do get it philosophically, and I think it's, like, fascinating. I don't know. Just, yeah. I don't know. Anyways, and if you're ever taking a test, like GRE or GMAT, and you ever get, like, that question or you need to answer it in some way or know this, know that it is an even number. It's not neutral or whatever. It's a number, and it's even, and you can divide it by two. Yay! There's your lesson for today, if you didn't already know. Alrighty. I'm going to give you a song, and then I'll be back. The call-in number is 858-815-2333. Once again, 858-815-2333. And I'll play Elephant Song by 72 Hours.
See how it's dying, oh, like hiding an elephant. Need her. 9 months, blue lights, cousins, a shorty not around. I need more than enough. lock it down. I'm really trying to lock it down. Midnight we hook up and go at it. Burn a stogie, let her know, sweetheart, I got to have it. She's telling me commitment is something she can't manage. Wake up the next morning, she gone like it was magic. Oh, damn it. This on Harrison, full frantic. My number wants an answer by my plot, Taurus Enchantress. Next week, who hit me up? I saw Sharice at the kitty club with some banging ass agent playing Lay It Down and Lick Me Up.
What? Yo.
I do this for my city, is you with me? Hey.
Is this insufficient funds for what I say I'm the one? Yes, I'm the only son, shawty, you can have it all. Only means I have the ball with no hoop. But I got a photo shoot, really on, did it come? Come around the loop, just let me be. Only then you'll see. I do this for my city, not for me. We will change it, such short notice, like magic did. Call it hocus pocus.
I do this for my city, is you with me? Music is the movement and we're moving kinda swivel. Put the liquor in my liver, now I'm feeling kinda tipsy.
And this is for your DJ, tell him it's up for some. Hit me, I be feeling like, oh, I'm so relaxed. I'm so relaxed, girl, I'm so relaxed. I'm so relaxed, boy, I'm so relaxed. I'm so relaxed, girl, I'm so on. Off the hook like a telephone.
I know what happened, sooner is better, 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 better. One focused dream, boy, that's all that matters. A long road, where's the highway? And when you keep going, yes, it's my way. No, but they getting it till it's more money. You don't tell me if you can't afford it, then I'm co-signing. Yeah, truth is there, but the truth ain't never scared. Never scared. I do this for my city, I think that's why I'm here. I do this for my city, is you with me? The music is the movement and we're moving kinda swift. We put the liquor in my liver, now I'm feeling kinda tipsy.
And this is for your DJ, turn it up for thumb, can hit me, I be feeling like, oh, I'm so relaxed. I'm so relaxed, girl, I'm so relaxed. I'm so relaxed, boy, I'm so relaxed. I'm so relaxed, girl, I'm so on. Off the hook like your telephone.
And this is on, one hit and I own. Shout out blowing up my phone.
Oh, help me home.
We getting on, I'm milking it till it's moan. And drenching it till it's foam. And telling them haters move on.
Move,
y'all carry on, I just do this forever long. Forever on. It's gonna be hard to swallow. Just hope they don't boo this and womp womp like Apollo. Just move forward in life, regret nothing, don't think twice. You hear that sound, relax on, yeah, I bring it twice. This shit just on my city, city, I do it, don't mimic. I'm talking every city, town. As long as you with it, I'm in it, I get it finished. This is just the beginning. Yellow polo, yellow pumas, and I'm just a lemon. Sour as any feeling, I'm feeling like I'm gonna be winning. I do this for my city, and whoever is in it.
I do this for my city, is you with me? Music is the movement and we're moving kinda swift. We put the liquor in my liver, now I'm feeling kinda tipsy.
And this is for your DJ, turn it up for some can hit me, I be feeling like, oh, I'm so relaxed. I'm so relaxed, girl, I'm so relaxed. I'm so relaxed, boy, I'm so relaxed. I'm so relaxed, girl, I'm so on. Off the hook like your telephone.
I do this for my city, is you with me? The music is the movement and we're moving kinda swift. We put the liquor in my liver, now I'm feeling kinda tipsy. Kinda tipsy.
Hello, all you sexy naked girls radio listeners. Have yourself a naked day and make it a naughty night with me, Sandra London, on Playtime with Sandra every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Keep soul on the beat.
place. Listen, listen, yeah. Listen, pay attention. I am from the place yeah. where repenting is a crime. I do
airplane in the sky.
Yeah. Sitting in my room, spitting poems to myself in my AKG, never play deep.
Airplane in the sky.
And I'll do this shit, you won't pass me because I got the brains and the brawns of a tyrant. Yeah. I am never violent, no. I am never silent, no. I'm forever
airplane in the sky.
Kid, I am a slob when I'm spitting rapper's itis. Listen to me cause I'm like King Midas. Got that golden touch, got a golden Dutch honeys. They never get me for my money cause I'm dug like funny.
Airplane.
Digging up your grave,
airplane.
Bigger than the hay.
Airplane.
Niggas wanna hate, niggas need to date yep. themselves because they gay.
Airplane.
And as the shit plays, I be getting paid every day and I get chips like Lay's. I can't have just one never, yeah, yo. Because forever I will sever your head if you try to get
airplane.
Have your mo' dead. Then I be like, girl, can you give me mo'?
Airplane.
Yo, Agnes, I was on with that baddest. Bitch, that was her name, she was like a radish. All red bubble, but she got the bubble gut. When I stick it in her, she be shitting for a couple months. Cause I love the cunt, I love the puss. Yo, I love the push, and I love to get it every day. Like to hit it every way. I don't give a fuck because the kid will forever spray.
Word.
With the sneeze guard, with the mouth spitting, written from the dome. Listen as I shit these poems out like they
airplane.
Old food that processed,
yeah.
I am on the
airplane,
not in the projects. I'm in the studio with a fat booty hoe. Really, really straight like an arrow. Got my eye on the sparrow. I am like the pharaoh of